welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's get started.
Straight from New York, yo, yo, this handsome ass.
You are now tuned in to Al Joe, the Funk Master. Watch your grill, yoga, knock that cold fast. And talking shit, now we talking facts. With the mountain off the back, you in trouble, came to burst your bubble. I don't shelter punches, they find home on your mind about a double. This the weekly scraps. You don't need a map, GPS, I'm right here to lead a dash. The world doesn't know it needs, but I grow disease. Planet, fuck a name and a fame. Only legacy remains. Remember the name, Al Jermaine Sterling.
It ain't safe, it ain't safe.
Motherfuckers. Come on, you gotta do it one time.
I won't.
No. Boo this man.
Oh my god, welcome back to the weekly.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the weekly scraps. Episode, I think we're at 89 or 90.
Around that area.
Something
right?
Like that.
All right.
So far, we're doing good. We're doing pretty good. Hey, but do say show myself. You know, we got like a big weekend. We got a lot of fun. I feel like I'm talking like the schmo now.
Oh, my. Yeah, no. A lot of the schmo content.
Stretch it, dude. Guys, the schmo. I'm the pro and he's the. No. He's the. Whatever. Something like that.
I like the schmoes.
I like the schmo. He's a good dude.
No, a lot of fights, though.
A lot of fights this past week. We got a lot to talk about. I saw Anik tweet about it saying, I don't know how, like, just pretty much talking about, like, we have so much content to cover.
Yeah.
And I just had to jump in. I was like, you and I both. I know.
You're
I feel
right.
Your pain.
There's a lot of, I mean, there were a lot of good fights over the last week, so.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff. Especially with the Ige card, and we obviously just had the one this past Saturday. Mm-hmm. Ige versus Calvin Kattar. That was a pretty good card. There were a lot of good fights on that one. Where is this card right here? That's the one with Tim Elliott, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that kid, the one fight that stood out to me the most was that kid Jack Shore, obviously for multiple reasons, because he's in my weight class, and he's being touted as the next big thing.
Undefeated. Yeah.
You know, there was another guy from Wales. He's also from Wales. There is another guy that he now trains with that is from Wales that was also undefeated.
Yeah.
That people were doing the same thing for. And then he ran into a roadblock. Like, boom!
God. That was a good win.
He ran into, you know.
Was that your fight? That was my first
fight back.
Okay, wow.
After Marlon.
That was a good fight. All right. That was a good jersey.
Rustled him a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Kicked him a little bit.
And Brett Johns fought, this past Saturday, too?
He did.
Yeah.
He got the W as well over
That's
a very
2-0
tough
for Wales.
Yeah, tough Montel Jackson.
Good for them.
Let's talk about the main event first. Dan Ige versus Calvin Kattar. That was a good fight. I fell asleep
for that one.
I did fall asleep. Not because the fights were boring. I fell asleep because I was exhausted.
Nah, and the times were the start time was way too late. Too many fights on.
To be fair, I was up at 4 o'clock in the morning that day to take my brother to the doctor for surgery. So I have a legitimate excuse. I didn't get to take a nap. You know.
No, he's a saint. You guys heard. He's an angel. This guy.
I am an angel from above.
No, the main event was really good. I love that fight a lot. Kattar's hands are freaking brutal, man. Real slick.
I thought the fight was going to swing towards Ige after that second round where he busted up Kattar's nose, and he kept touching it over and over and over. Mm-hmm. But the cornerman did a good job of stopping the blood and everything and allowing Kattar to get back into the fight. But I thought it was 1-1 going 1-1 apiece. With the momentum shifting towards Dan Ige, especially after coming off that tough fight with Barbosa. And I don't think he had his entire body...
Probably healed up
from the fight.
Credit to Kattar, too, because I'm pretty sure that the issue came from the Jeremy Stevens fight. Yeah, so I'm sure he was dealing with like little things, like nagging things, nothing crazy, but here and there. But, I mean, they both look... I was really impressed with Dan Ige. I didn't think... I thought it was a kind of a bit step up for him a little too early. So, but I mean, he
made it competitive.
He held his own, made it a competitive fight. I thought he was doing a lot of good stuff in the fight, going to the body decently. I thought the kicks were going to be there more, but
good footwork.
Yeah, like moving away from him well. But no, credit to Kattar, he was able to get in there and just, you know, get the job done.
Bring that Boston pressure.
Yeah,
that Boston pressure.
No, he looked good. I mean, he says he's ready to fight anytime soon too. So
I bet we let that nose heal up first.
I would too. Look, but.
It's like when I was sparring with Marab and he busted up my nose with that elbow, back elbow.
Yeah, he was fine.
And I was very, very hesitant about it. I had to get the bar for the headgear to spar because I was just like, dude, I just don't want to get my nose busted up.
That's fair.
And then get into the fight, get jabbed one time, and then I start leaking like a faucet.
Yeah,
the judge is like, oh my God, he has the strongest jab in the world. Like, no, we can't have that happening, you know? So it sucks definitely wearing the bar for training. I would imagine that Cater had to do that for... Yes.
He said he was wearing, like, that wrestling face mask, even worse.
Yeah, with the cage.
Yeah, oh my God.
I think that might be better than the bar.
Oh, no, I think he said the one with the three holes, you know, like the boom, boom.
Oh.
Like the old one, yeah, like the old school kind. I don't know how I feel about that personally, but...
I've never wore that one.
I just don't like how it looks. I don't know how functional it is for, like, sparring. I've seen kids wear it for wrestling, but...
Yeah. So with that, I always think about, like, crosses and hooks and jabs, like, just punches in general.
Yeah.
Like, you think you're out of the way from the strike.
Yeah.
But the cage, it's like 4 inches off your face.
Yeah.
So you might be at the end range of the punch just to get just, like, barely out of the way. But that cage, now you get hit.
And the same thing with headgear, even though, like, you do have that issue, too. Sometimes you're just, like, right at it, but you feel it tap off.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it is what it is, though.
But the cage, I don't know. I feel like it just makes your whole head rattle.
That's fair.
Good fight, man. Good, very competitive fight. I thought Ige did everything that he could. And given the circumstances, both guys making such a quick turnaround with lingering injuries, you never know if you got the best version of those guys. But I think Ige made it tough. I didn't think he was going to get it done. But after watching the fight, like watching it, I was like, I tried to stay off of social media that day because I know I missed some of the fights. I want to go back and rewatch them. And I was watching it in the morning. I'm like, dude, I feel like he has a chance to win.
No, absolutely.
And then Cater started to slowly pick up steam again. And from there, it was pretty much all Calvin Cater.
That's why I think, I mean, it's kind of doing him it seems like from an outside looking at least, Cater starts off somewhat slow. So I think for him, like, five rounds are the way to go, man. Like, it looks like he can hold his constant pace.
That's why I wanted to see him as a beat. Five rounds.
They really.
They screwed him.
They screwed him, man. Shit. I mean, that's. Think about any other main event that hasn't...
It's always five rounds.
It's always five rounds. But now special circumstances or whatever, I guess. They're like, no, we're going to do three. And then I really do think they screw... I think that would be a great rematch to run back, honestly. Zabit, Cater, five rounds. See how that goes. If Zabit can get past him five rounds, then it would make a really good showing for a title shot. But, I mean, look...
Zabit's got Yair next, so that should
allegedly.
Be
allegedly. I don't know how, like, if
It has to be done. I mean,
that's a great fight.
If Zombie's fighting Ortega...
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Yeah, none of these fights are signed.
Well, to be fair, my fight wasn't signed for weeks,
good point,
but
too.
I knew about it back in March when they were mentioning
it. And they've been talking about it for a while.
Yeah, but when you hear, you know, where there's smoke, there's usually fire.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
So,
I guess it also depends on what Volkanovski wants to do next, too. I mean, or how long it's going to take for him to get back in there, because, I mean, he could... reasonably, he could fight anyone in the top five, top ten right now. And I think it'd be a good fight regardless. You know,
The zombie. I want after the zombie threw that tweet out, I was like, get in there.
Put zombie in there. I'm so, oh my God. Has there ever been a boring Korean zombie fight?
No.
No, I would watch anyone fight Korean zombie. So I'm saying, I think he would be the ideal matchup for Volkanovski. But if not, again, Bantamweight too, but Featherweight's so stacked. Anyone in the top five, any sort of combination of those guys, I would watch.
Yeah. It's a very exciting division for sure, especially right now with the champion active. It just sucks that we haven't really gotten past the Holloway, Alex Volkanovski saga yet.
No, that is kind of trash.
Despite him winning two. Did he really win two?
I think it's one and one apiece.
Should be one and one.
It should be.
The fans will always remember it as one.
Well, exactly.
And one,
I mean,
except those three judges.
That's what sucks, man.
Two judges, actually. Split decision. Again.
No, that one hurts. Dude, that one hurts. I thought Holloway won. Again, like, we're not going to bring it back up, but it just sucks because Holloway, like, he's 0-2 now against Volkanovski, so it's never a good sign that, like, they've never really given a guy a third shot against someone for the belt, so I don't know what that puts him.
And I do like the things that Max was saying after the fight, saying, like, you know, fans, you know, don't take it out on
like,
other people.
Exactly.
So that was cool.
No, he's...
Dude, Max is a stand-up dude, man.
100%.
Stand-up dude. The next fight, Tim Elliott versus Ryan Benoit. This was a good fight. I wasn't sure which way it was going to go. I know Elliott coming off of a couple of losses, I should say.
Yeah.
And wasn't looking good. The momentum definitely wasn't in his favor. Mm-hmm. And I thought Benoit was going to come in here and get it done. But Elliott got the decision. I think it was unanimous, too. Yeah. But I wasn't sure how they were going to score. You know, the couple guillotine attempts and
close
then reversals.
Yeah.
But very close fight. My manager asked me about it, how did I score it. But I was like, I think 29-28 either way. I don't think there's really an uproar for either men losing or winning. I think it's just that competitive of a fight. It depends on like what you decide to
what,
score more.
What you like more, really. Like, yeah. What's your
that's
preference?
It. If I score heavier, the footwork and circling out and being evasive, I'm going to score that maybe heavier than the guy who's pushing forward and standing in the center.
Yeah.
If you're standing in the center, are you winning the fight just because you're standing in the center? I don't think so.
No, I think that's fair.
I don't think so. I think there has to be a combination of all the other facets of MMA, which is the effective grappling, striking, and even like being effective with like the defense.
Yeah, agreed. I agree with that. I mean, I thought watching it in real time, I thought Benoy, he kind of edged it out, but I wasn't mad when they announced
he was going for it more.
Yeah, well, that's kind of why I kind of tend to favor it. Well, personally, again, like that's my preference. I'm like, a guy's kind of going for it more, so that's why I thought Benoy kind of edged it out. But no, Tim Elliott, look, he's a vet. He fought smart. He did, I think, the right things to get the job done, and no, good for him for getting out that losing streak and kind of, I don't want to say saving his career because I know he signed the new contract too with the UFC. But
yeah, he got a pay raise, he said.
Yeah.
So definitely I think a loss on a new contract after already on like a 3-fight losing streak.
Yeah, I don't think that would.
Because
I think he was already on was it 3-fight before this?
I feel like it might have been 4.
It might be, you're right. So this was
pretty big. I'm going to say 3.
Yeah. This was a pretty big one for him, so I'm happy to see that at least.
Give him the benefit of the doubt, you know?
Yeah.
The next one, Jimmy Rivera, Cody Stamann. That was a fun fight. Did not go the way I thought it was going to go. Yeah. I actually picked Cody Stamann for my DraftKings lineup. I thought he would have been the one to get it done. And if you guys are going to use DraftKings, if you haven't used it before, sign up with my promo code FUNKMASTER, but you have to deposit at least $5 and you get one free entry. Go check them out. DraftKings.com. Yeah, so I picked Stamann over Rivera. Mm-hmm. I thought Stamann coming high on the momentum.
Yeah.
I think 2 or 3-fight win streak now. Mm-hmm. 2-fight win streak.
Yeah, yeah.
The other one was a draw to Yadong. Yeah,
but I mean, again, I thought he won that too.
Yeah, and then Rivera, haven't fought in a while, coming off 2 losses.
Yeah.
You know, that guy Yan, and then, of course, you know, that other guy who's pretty good, the Sterling fella.
I haven't heard of him.
Aljamain. Yeah, that guy. So, those two fights. So I wasn't sure what his headspace was.
Yeah, no, you're right.
But he only lost to the best guys.
Well, that's kind of the thing. You're right. Like, those are literally the top two guys in the division, so.
And he beat Pedro, who's now ranked 5th again.
And that's the problem. Well, I mean, look, that's kind of, in my opinion, Jimmy Rivera's problem. Like, he's an amazing fighter. Like, clearly, like, he's still one of the top guys in the division. He just doesn't have those signature wins, like, that really.
I was in that same position.
Yeah.
Before.
No, I mean, it's almost like criminally underrated, this guy. Like, how Jimmy Rivera stays on there. He's fought the best guys. And to beat Cody Stamann, like, only, again, well, you're the only one, I think, in the UFC that's beating Cody Stamann, right? Yeah. So to have a
big deal.
I'd say you do have a win over both these guys, whatever. But to beat Cody Stamann, you got to be legit. I thought Stamann agree with you. I was thinking he was going to win the fight beforehand. But,
yeah.
I mean, Rivera really shut him down everywhere. Didn't give him any of the takedowns, even striking. I thought he was a step ahead. So
he seemed like, on paper, it seemed like Stamann had more tools to win.
Yeah.
But then Rivera was the one who came out on fire, implemented his game plan, and did what he had to do.
Yeah.
Especially with the striking and the counter-striking. Stamann just looked like he fought to that level, like fighting me. I feel like he didn't fight to his best of his abilities. Against Kelleher, he looked great. I thought that was like the best Cody Stamann we've ever seen.
Yeah, agreed.
And then when he fought Rivera, I thought he was going to piggyback off of that performance, and that wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. It looked like he got into he got countered with that left hook a couple of times, and from there it just looked like he was a little bit gun-shy.
Kind of frozen.
You know? Yeah, I think they caught him off guard, the speed and the power of Rivera. And that's why when I fought Rivera, it was like, you have to get ahead of his striking counters, because if you don't use feints and stuff and to draw out his attack, you step in the line of fire for Rivera, he knows exactly where he needs to touch it, where his left hand and his thumb is always up like this, and he's like this, and he's twitching. And he's like this, and he's pivoting.
But he's got good responses to everything, like programmed responses, basically.
Boom, 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 big left hook. And just like his textbook, man, he knows exactly what he's going to do as soon as you step in. So you have to get a guy like that confused and get him thinking about a whole bunch of different things. And he brought out those calf kicks.
Yeah.
Which really start, and the inside leg kicks, which really beat up on Cody Stamann's leg. And I think it just made it very difficult for him to get any momentum going in that fight.
Yeah, no. I mean, look, that was a big fight at the for like the bantamweights too, just to kind of see like who's going to be the like that next tier guys that is coming up. So I thought it was a good win from Jimmy Rivera. I'm glad that he's back, rebounding off those 2 losses. Yeah.
And that was at 145 as well.
Yeah.
Short notice fight for Rivera, so they bumped it up to 145 for these two guys. Good fight, man. I think those calf kicks, and I think that really brought the best Rivera. Oh, excuse me.
Is there any other fights we want to talk about on this card?
There was something else that happened in that fight that, the ref stopping the back position of Cody Stamann, even though he wasn't going to do anything. My thing with Stamann is whenever he got into a position of, I'm behind you, I got my hands locked, he was throwing these knees like he was just literally like doing like marching in place, just like,
Yeah.
He wasn't trying to do any significant damage. Real damage. I thought he was trying to compete more than try to fight.
I think that's totally fair. It looked like, that's the thing, like once it looked like Rivera was a step ahead, it just looked like Cody Stamann kind of just shut down. Yeah, I thought he was going to be able to feint well, get in, you know, land his strikes, even change the southpaw a little bit, but no, not really. God, didn't really get anything face. Off. Yeah, no. Look.
High and tight with the shoulders.
Yeah, he is a little fire truck, honestly. Like, the guy's a tank. And look, Stamann's a tank too, but Stamann just really had nothing for him. It was a really
Rivera
good
was there to scrap.
Yeah, no, he was there to scrap.
He's like, I'm not playing. I don't lose three in a row. I ain't playing.
Yeah, clearly, no, he did well.
But good fight, man. Good really competitive good fight. The ref stopped that position for Cody. I know he was pissed about that. But to be honest, I don't think he was going to do anything anyway with it.
Has he
ever?
Yeah.
No, not really.
Yeah.
And that's not a knock on him. That's just like, you know, you get to those dominant positions, you got to make do with those positions and not just kind of hang out.
Agreed.
The Santos fight was pretty good. I thought she pretty much, I think Vegas got that wrong, completely wrong.
Molly Kane was the favorite?
Yeah, Molly McCann was the favorite from what I understand. And Santos pretty much had her way with her the entire night. Al-Hassan versus Lazzez. Oh, man.
Oh, wow. That was UFC. Crazy. Holy crap.
What a barrage of a first round from Al-Hassan, and then slows down, just looks pumped with blood. Just like he couldn't even move his arms. It looked like his arms were so pumped with blood, he couldn't even wipe his ass if he wanted to. That's how stiff he looked at that point. I was like, damn, this guy is swole.
I mean, he was in there the whole time, though. Yeah. He was not scared of that power. Like,
dude, I don't know, man. There's a couple moments in that first round. I was like,
He was still... Look, he just had his hands up and was like, let's go. Throw an elbow. Yeah. I mean, for like the first round, it looked like he was only, like his game plan was throw only elbows and knees. I don't know what I was watching, but he was looking for kill shots.
He reminded me of Saget from Street Fighter. Tiger uppercut, tiger knee. Like every time he was just from the distance, jumping, stepping knee. I was like, dude, who does that besides Saget?
It was sad. No, look, it was a fun fight style to watch. Was that, I think that was fight of the night, no?
It should have been. I mean, I don't know who else on that card could have gotten it. Cater versus Ige, maybe. Possible. But maybe I think that one was a lot more action-packed.
I love that
three
fight.
Rounds.
And that was his debut, I believe, correct?
Yeah, his debut.
So, look, I'd say great start to the UFC career, no?
Yeah, for sure. I would say the only thing about Alisson is when he had him hurt or appeared that he had him hurt, he should have went more to the body as opposed to just... Up top. And up top, he was throwing big hooks.
Yeah.
Nothing was coming straight.
No.
Nothing was coming up the middle. And nothing was coming like at an angle over the top. With these little gloves, you don't have to go traditional straight hook to the side and the other hand straight. It can be around. You could come at an angle over the top. You could come at an angle underneath the bottom. I can dig straight up the middle. Mm-hmm. If someone is shelling with the pillar block, you split that thing up the middle, you come around, and you got to pick your shots. Yeah. Not just,
and that's typically how Lazzez was blocking, too. Yeah. Just hands right up.
He could have ended the fight if he just picked his shots
or
a little better.
Yeah, just look for better shots. No, I agree.
Yeah, but either way, good fight, man, back and forth.
Yeah, definitely entertaining.
And then the takedowns, when Lazzez took him down, people thought I was hating on him. I was like, nah, I think the ref made a good decision to stand the fight up. He took him down and legit just laid on him.
I will say the first time watching it, I was like, man, he let him up from side control, things like that. So I didn't like it, but I did realize like he had him in that position for like a minute and a half and didn't do anything. Like that's what, a third of the round almost? Like now at that point, it is a little excessive. Like you do have to have some action.
Something. There was a verified guy. I forgot his name, but he added me on Twitter, and I was like, I think you're just used to your pace of grappling that you think everyone
should be.
I'm like, yes and no. I do think if you take someone down and there's 30 seconds of you not doing anything.
Yeah. I mean, that's immediately. Like, you gotta have some questions.
Posture, throw like a body punch, grunt, do something that makes me go, okay, he's trying to
do something.
Not just like, all right, he's clearly taking a break. Pound him right now.
I mean, look, even if he was taking a break, I want him to at least like show the ref, like, look, I'm at least pretending like I'm doing something. Yeah, you know, like
Hollywood.
Yeah, Hollywood, exactly. Something, just show something. But
you know what, man? In high school, when I was teaching guys when I was coaching at the high school level, I would tell my kids, and I was like, yo, this is the Hollywood. I call it Hollywood, because when the ref is going to bang you for stalling because you're winning and the ref just wants to make it interesting.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because the kid finally took a shot out of all three periods. Now all of a sudden he wants to bang you for stalling because the kid took one shot after all the ass whooping you gave the kid. And you're going to start giving up points. I was like, just Hollywood. Show. Pulse on the arms and just shoot and make a sound effect and slap at the leg. Don't even like attempt to really grab it, and don't shoot and get stuck. Just drop step and come back up. Ha!
That's
and
hilarious.
Back into position. Hollywood. Just fake
we called it the same thing in my high school. Hollywood. No, it was perfect. Yeah, I was the king of it. Let's be clear.
Like, don't take a bad shot.
Well, I mean, it's really it's just clever stalling. Like, I don't know how else to put it. It's just like clever, like. But it shows that you're doing something, but you're not really engaging enough where that guy's gonna get a shot to really take.
Exactly. Something. To really put you in any dangerous
position. It looks like Lizay was good enough to be able to do that, at least like show something but not give up position. But he kind of just, that's what was kind of annoying. He did just hold him in those positions. So I understand the stand-ups. I don't know if I would have stood them up in those positions, but I understand why. Like,
in the moment, you're probably just waiting like, okay, I'm going to let you work.
Yeah.
All right, but now you're not working. You're resting. You are resting.
For a minute and a half, you got to do something at that point.
The next fight, Lerone Murphy, Ricardo Ramos, that was a good fight. TKO round one, ground and pound, vicious from Murphy. Murphy fought Tugahov, Khabib's boy, 145. Tugahov. I'm gonna get butchered.
Bro, that was the thing. I don't even know who you're talking about, so I can't.
This is a parody of how many how many times I got it wrong.
Sorry, I don't know.
Tugahov.
It sounds like you're trying to say a name, but
Zabari.
Oh, Zabari. Okay.
Oh my God! Come on, this man. You know exactly who I was talking about.
Someone on Instagram or Twitter is gonna have to fix this. I correct him. I don't know what name he's going for right now.
Oh my God! Oh, he fought him to a draw.
Okay.
And that was a good fight. Got dominated the first round, but came back, battled pretty well in the second and the third. And then this fight goes out there, and still undefeated, I believe, from Manchester. So I know Michael Bisping is proud to count.
Okay, awesome.
Good fight though. Not much to really talk about. He took him down and really just piss pounded him, controlled that top leg from the half guard, and just only some big bombs and then some nasty elbows that the ref just said, all right, I think you had enough there, buddy.
Tough one for Ramos.
Yeah, especially he's a veteran himself, man. Yeah. That nasty elbow that he hit on Ayman Zahabi.
Oh, yeah.
For us, his own younger brother.
That was a crazy fight, too. That was when MSG, I remember that.
Holy two spinning
crap.
Elbows in a row. The second one landed flush.
Holy crap.
Who else we got on this card? Jared, good job for Jared getting back in the win column over Chris Fishgold. That first round looked kind of iffy. I wasn't sure. Because Jared didn't look too good at the weigh-ins, man. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he said he had a lot of troubles with this fight, too. I mean, his coaches weren't able to make it. He had a Paul Felder, you know.
Come to Long Island, bro. The fuck, dog? You're a Long Island guy.
Yeah, you're right. I'm a huge fan of Jared Gordon, too. Like, I like his whole story, everything. He seems like a really respectable guy. I mean, the way he fought, too, just gritty. I don't know how else to put it. Like, he just stayed in the guy's face, kept pushing, and looked like he just kind of outworked them.
Yeah, for sure. Fishgold just folded. And that's a position where you just sit in turtle and you're just covering your head. The ref should have probably jumped in a little sooner because clearly Fishgold wasn't trying to stay in the fight.
Yeah, it was more just, all right, let's stay here.
Survive.
Yeah.
Let's just hang out in this turtle position. Not looking good. Liana Jojua gets to the submission. Armbar. Pretty slick stuff. Took her a while to make a couple of fixes in the transition, but she eventually got it.
Yeah.
And submitted Babita.
I don't know. We tried.
We tried.
These Georgians don't play, man. They're here to stay, these guys.
Yeah. There's another one that made his debut. We're going to get to him. Yeah. He was on the last Saturday's card.
Yep.
Jack Shore took out Aaron Phillips.
Yeah.
Impressive debut. And surprisingly, Phillips was able to stop a couple of takedowns, but eventually just enough became too much for him. Yeah. And nasty body lock, body triangle on Phillips from Jack Shore. Mm-hmm. And He's a specialist with that rear naked choke, man. I think that's his third one in a row, they said.
Mm-hmm. I've done that once. He's got a couple submission victories.
Yeah, but it was on the regional circuit right before I made my UFC debut. I took out Casey Johnson. I took out Sadeko Honorio, who is a black belt under Henzo Gracie gym. And I sometimes cross-train with him whenever he's there.
Okay.
But this, we fought so long ago.
Yeah, I'm sure
I wasn't Sarah Longo at the time. So.
Okay.
And then the last one was Joel Roberts, and then I finished him in the first round. So I went from third round finish, Casey Johnson, second round finish, Sidecko, and then first round finish against Joel Roberts, got signed to the UFC, and then Cody Gibson stopped me. Motherfucker stopped my finishing streak.
I mean, it seems like Jack Shore is probably like on a similar, well, right now, at least career wise, like a similar trajectory, like good wins outside, good regional wins at least.
Yeah, like Brett Johns was.
Yeah, exactly.
And 2-0 in the UFC now.
Aaron Phillips, I don't know much about Aaron Phillips to be honest, but look, still to get a good. Get a finish in the UFC is always good, and I'm sure it's going to start to build him up a little bit in the bantamweight division, which is already pretty stacked.
So how you finish fights dictates how fast or how quickly you move up the division. It propels you higher based on a decision, split decision, or KO win, submission win. Mm-hmm. Usually affects the trajectory from the UFC where they want to put you for your next slot. I mean, look,
it's clear, it's pretty obvious. The UFC loves some KO wins. You know, those whoever gets. You get a vicious KO, they're going to push you. It really is. Seems to get to that point. Submissions, they seem...
But hey, Dana, so why do you guys not weigh submissions as heavily as KOs? Oh, no, we do. We favor everything. We give everything.
We favor everything.
I'm like, no, but you don't.
I mean, look.
But you don't.
If we're looking at it objectively, that's just how it is. You know, people still love a vicious KO, you know? Like, in any sport, they're just like, oh, look, a guy got knocked out. They don't understand, like, I appreciate a beautiful triangle, like a beautiful armbar, as much as anything. But I think just for a casual audience, they see a guy get knocked out, they know what happened.
Yeah, they understand.
Yeah.
Like, this man was sleep.
No, he got deaded.
On the next card, this past Saturday, title fight, UFC Fight Night, Joey Benavidez versus Davison Figueiredo. That was a really good fight for Figueiredo.
Oh, we're starting from the main.
Yeah, that was really tough to watch in the terms of what happened to Joey B. Got dropped, I think, 3 times, and then finally he got Figueiredo got his back and put him to sleep at the end.
I mean, Figueiredo looked like he was, like a step ahead. Yeah. The whole fight. I mean, like 3 steps ahead, quite frankly.
Walked him down the entire time. Really. I was like, sheesh.
I mean, look, if that fight wasn't finished, that was heading towards a 10-7 round, in my opinion. Like, that was in every single position, he was dominant.
Has it ever been a 10-7 round?
I think not as legitly as that one would have been. Like, I'm pretty sure they might have had some bullshit 10-7s in there where, like, a judge might have been, some things like that where it wasn't. But, like, this is, like, a definitive, like, this looked worse than Frankie Gray Maynard, kind of one of those situations, you know, where, like, dude, this guy's been finished in almost every position right now. Like, standing, getting choked. Like, come on. Like, this is... And he hasn't landed a punch. So I'm thinking this is the definition of that kind of round. So it was looking bad for Benavidez.
Joey.
I feel bad for him, man. Like, I'm... You know...
Joey, 2 times, man. Damn, yo, that sucks. And then... You know what's crazy? Because Formiga beat Davison pretty decisively. Mm-hmm. There was no, questioning, controversy at the end, maybe he won or didn't. He won. And then Joey 2 times goes out there and finishes Formiga the next time he fights him.
Yeah.
And then this fight, the first fight was a lot more competitive.
Not good.
I will say those, him being dropped, headbutted, and all that, probably, and then getting back into the fight. I know it was in February and then he fought in July. I don't know if he was sparring hard or anything. Maybe
but he got KO'd hard, man.
Exactly. So I just feel like maybe that fight and that the way it ended kind of shortened up what he would have had left in the tank for his career, which is unfortunate. No one would ever know. Mm-hmm. But I felt like he took shots a little bit better before that one, or should I say after that one, because that was the only time afterwards where he was really hit, where some of these punches were dropping him like... Or his eyes were rolling in the back of his head. I'm like, dude, what the hell is going on right now?
Immediately. Well, I mean, look, we saw when we were back, when we were in Vegas, what was that, like late April, early June? May. I saw Joseph Benavidez training, like, you know, he'd be going to the PI, stuff like that. Like, this is what, like 2-3 months after? Dude, that was a brutal knockout, like that first fight.
Chill.
Yeah, I mean, I remember
I'm pretty sure he did though.
I'm sure, yeah, to an extent, but I mean, like, well, I'm saying like relative to like boxers, like Manny Pacquiao, he got deaded once from what I remember by Juan
Marquez.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Freddie Roach told him like, yo, you're taking a year off, like you're not fighting for this year, like, and I'm not sure in terms of the training. But I know he took a long time off of training as well. They told him that, you know, we really want you to just, like, recover everywhere. So we can't say definitively that that's what slowed him down, but I just don't like the idea of a fighter getting deaded, KO'd back in February and then having a fight booked by July.
Yeah. It just looked like there was a lot of flash knockdowns in the fight, where it's like where he got hit and it didn't look like it was anything of significance. Like the first fight where he got hit with that cross, that was a big cross.
That was a big cross.
Big right hand that sat him on his ass. But this one, it would just seem like some of them were just touching him and he was just like almost just falling over. I was like, it just looked, it didn't look good to me. And I was just like, man, they should probably, I don't know, you don't want to take too many of those. And
we listened to Joseph Benavidez's post-fight interview. I mean, look, first of all, it's rough to watch, but I would not recommend if you don't, you know, want to see anything sad. But he was like, it's tough, man, because like he's saying like he still wants to be in there, like he's still, he especially he's not going to go off on like a loss like that, which I get, but at the same time, like, that's a rough, that seems like a rough road to go down, man, to be like, I'm not going out like that. It's like, shit, well, how do you want to go out then, man? Like, this is,
I think he could probably take some time off and get one last swan song fight.
Yeah.
Because I do think that fight showed that he is at that point where he's getting touched and he just, there's a point where you're fighting and you just don't have it anymore.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we see it happen to everyone. I want to say we've seen it with like Forrest. We've seen it with Chuck Liddell. Yeah. We've seen it with,
I mean, look, I think there are current fighters now that just look, that just look kind of, well, especially if we just want to talk about decline. It's clear, like that one, I think is fair. But like, if we're talking about someone that's
even
a really,
Kane,
yeah, well, that's a clear.
Francis Ngannou is a freaking man child. But I feel like even an older, younger Kane would have worn that a little bit and fought through that adversity. Even like,
I mean, look, his knee even just popped. Like, it looked like his knee just gave out too in that fight. So like, clearly his body was worn down too. And I'm sure Joseph Benavidez is the same situation where his body's just worn down.
I don't want to ever get to that point.
Well, that's,
I hope I get out before I get to that point. And
that's really what I'm saying
in
about
the cage. Yeah. I don't want to find out in the cage that, yo, young man, you are done.
Yeah, yeah. And look, Benavidez, it seems like he's got everything figured out outside of the fighting life, too.
Yeah,
so,
smart dude.
Exactly. So, ideally, you know, he doesn't need to fight. But, man, it's a tough position. Like, I could see competitively, like, listening to him, too. He wants to stay in there. But I'm sure at some point, again, he doesn't need to fight. So, I would hope that he has good people around him that can be like, look, man, if you want to keep doing this, you know, we can allow, but only for so long, you know?
No, I think they're gonna have the conversation, but I think if like we were just saying, I think if he does come back, he needs to make sure he gives his body enough time to heal, and then from there make the decision. But pick a fight that makes sense. You don't have to go for one of the killers, the hardest hitters.
No, of course.
Maybe pick one that it could be competitive and probably not crack as much.
Yeah.
And this will let you know where you stand in terms of, can you still go on just to collect a paycheck, maybe provide until you really, really can't do it anymore? Or do you not even want to wait to that point? Just take a winnable fight, get the hell out of there.
Exactly. Well, I mean, that's what Faber
said with your wife.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what Faber did before he came back. But Faber had that win over, was it Brad Pickett, who's also a vet at the time. And that was supposed to be his like swan song, kind of like final fight. Great performance. I think he beat him by decision pretty dominantly, but I think that would be an ideal situation for Joseph Benavidez too. Just find someone, you know, maybe a little older in the flyweight division, that get a good win. That's it, man. Like, you had a great career. You were number two, but that's nothing to be ashamed of. Like, really, like, how many people even get to that position? Like, really, think about that. Like,
to work back to a title shot
multiple times.
Dominic Cruz, Mighty Mouse twice, and now
in this situation,
you know, and you made championship pay. I don't think there's,
I really don't
think you did well for yourself.
Yeah, there should be no shame in that kind of career. Like, most people would be lucky to have half the career Joseph Benavidez had.
Yeah, yeah. The next one we have Jack Hermanson. That was a lot.
That was a lot, man.
In a fight that was like 3 minutes.
Yeah, that was. I mean,
but there's a lot to go behind.
That was a crazy fight.
Benavidez is a good dude, though.
Yeah,
he's
of course.
Really good dude. Co-main event, Jack Hermanson versus Kelvin Gastelum. Oh, man.
My goodness.
Not what I expected. Gastelum, KG. Oh, man. Someone tweeted this, and I hated it because it was so true, that all Gastelum's wins were, like, over fighters at 185 who were, like, over the hill. And I was like, dang.
I don't want to say over the hill.
But it was kind of like all his wins and all his other ones, he came up short.
Yes.
So I was like, it's one of those positions where it's like you're right there with the best of the best, but you never beat one of those marquee names like we were talking about earlier that gets you over that hump to be in that category of like, yeah, you're elite, but you've never actually beaten any of these guys that makes you, okay, he's
one of these young, hungry guys too. And like Jack Hermanson, I thought would be I thought this was like a really good like style matchup in terms of for Kelvin Gastelum. I thought the only way Jack Hermanson has a way of winning is if his fight goes to the ground and he catches him. So this is kind of, yeah, like this is almost entirely on KG, you know? Like he, yeah, on the feet, he looked sharp. You know, he didn't land anything crazy, but when they clinched up, he hit that beautiful lat drop. Like that was gorgeous.
Textbook, high textbook school.
Yeah, he started pressuring him, boom, right to side control. And then the instant, I think Hermanson got the half guard, you could see him start to elevate, start to like get under Gastelum. I was like, Gastelum, it's time to get out of there, man. Like it seems like you are not, it does not seem like you know what you're doing here. Like,
it's like someone's like behind you. You don't know the monster's coming behind your back, and then the people up behind, they can see everything. They're like,
scream. I mean,
and you're like, and you're dancing, and the next you know, you just get eaten.
I was watching the fight. No, he got eaten. He got his freaking healed. Oh my! I was just shocked because he did get out of there. Like the first time, he was like, all right. He had a little distance. I'm like, all right, KG's gonna stand it up, and then he went back into his butterfly guard or guard. I was just like, what is the game plan here? Are you planning to control him on the ground? Like, this is not really your fight style. And then by the time he got caught, I was like, look, you borderline deserve it at that point with that kind of, like, you know.
Yeah, the IQ on
it
that
sucks,
was...
man.
And even, like, Michael Johnson versus Thiago Moises.
Yeah, same
very
thing.
Similar situation. Like, he had an opportunity to get out, and although the window was smaller, yeah, that window, I think... Michael Johnson's window of opportunity to escape was smaller than Gastelum. Yeah. Gastelum was actually out.
He was out.
And went back in.
He was like, all right, this is where I'll win. This is where I'll win the fight. Like, what are we doing here? Like,
right, like, yeah, your jiu-jitsu is not that good.
Well, I mean,
psych.
That's the thing. On the feet, Kelvin was the only one really throwing hard. Like, he was swinging at his head. Like, he didn't land anything really of significance.
Hermanson looked nervous.
Well, that's kind of what happens. It was the same thing with when Hermanson was fighting
Cannonier.
Yeah. Cannonier. I thought, whatever, close enough. I thought,
I just butcher everyone's names.
It's fine. This is your show. Cannonier, like, threw some heavy leather at him, and then Hermanson just kind of shut down on the feet. Like, Hermanson, when he's kind of like loose, at least he's doing something, but it seems like the instant someone starts really throwing heat in him, he kind of gets a little gun shy.
Yeah. Styles makes fights, man.
Yeah.
You're a grappler and you decide to engage with Jack Hermanson in the grappling exchange. Good things are going to happen for Jack.
Oh, really? No. I mean, look, Hermanson almost caught Jacare. So
look what he did to Jacare.
Really? No, you're right.
Jacare is, he does have good striking.
Good strike. Powerful striking,
yeah, at least. Very powerful and competent striking.
Yeah, and his jiu-jitsu game is obviously world class still. So for Hermanson to even put Jacare in any sort of trouble on the ground is. Should tell you how good he is, or at least how solid he is on the ground. So
yeah,
it is very annoying to see like Gastelum just not really
get out of there.
What was he thinking? I don't know. And it sucks worse too, because everyone that's beaten Kelvin, our boy, oh my god, our guys included, like Weidman has a good win over Gastelum. Like
submission.
Yeah, submission. Like it makes it almost look worse. Like same thing with Izzy, to have that 5-round war with him, and then for him to just do this, it's like, God, that's shock. I know Styles make
fights. It almost waters down the win.
It's how
the other
it feels.
Guys.
It shouldn't, but it's how it feels.
It is how it feels because that's how I feel.
Yeah,
I'm like, because now if I'm watching, I'm like, damn man, I don't feel as great about that win no more as I used to. Like Brett Johns coming back and having a good fight with Pedro Munhoz, but coming up short. And being dropped twice and then coming back still doing well in that third round and hurting Pedro. Looked like he almost dropped him, staggered him. But
getting
it showed like
this past weekend,
he
too.
Still got it.
Exactly.
And then he's on a 2-fight win streak now over a tough Montel Jackson. Of course, the other one before that.
And even you beat both those guys that fought on Wednesday, Jimmy and Cody Stamann.
Yeah.
And to see how well they're doing, first of all, and just how competitive they are, like that's a good. I think that's a good notch on your belt to show. Like. Like
shows you're beating good, legitimate
guys. Exactly, like legitimate guys. So,
and if they don't do well, guess what I say? I ruined them.
I think that's it.
That's what I say. I ruined that man.
This man's got a win-win strategy. That's brilliant.
Glass half full. Hit that like button. the next fight, man. So, where does KG go from here? He had that one fight with Darren Till, and that fight with Till and Whitaker's coming up. And I'm like, how do I rate the Darren Till after being Gastelum, who just fought like that? I don't know.
That's why we do say like styles do make fights. It's not like those two ever went to the ground. It just sucks,
a lot of clinching.
And look, again, I always do credit Till for that in terms of like it wasn't the most exciting fight, but to get a win over again Gastelum at the time, top 5 middleweight, to get a win over him, moving a weight class up after getting viciously KO'd, and then getting before that, getting submitted by Woodley. You do have to give him credit for that.
Yeah, battered by Woodley, then submitted.
And then submitted, exactly. So, you know, you do have to give some respect to Till for being able to do that, like getting a win after those circumstances. So, yeah. I do respect that. But KG, I still think he makes 170. I don't know. I don't think he'll do it, but I think if he did decide to go down to 170, he could still be a freak.
He could be, but he's got to lay off the tacos and stuff that he says he's been eating. Nah, dude, and that's not a Mexican joke. That's like literally the shit he's eating.
The guy just likes weed and tacos, man. It's a simple life.
It's a simple life, and I do not disagree with the plan and the lifestyle. You know, if I could do that,
but
I would.
But if he wants the belt, you know
these are sacrifices that we have to make.
Yeah, that's really how it feels. So it's up to him.
The next fight, really good fight, Faziz. Versus Diakazi. That was a good fight. Yeah. Back and forth. I thought the calf kicks of Bone Crusher Diakazi was going to be the dictator of the fight. And then Faziz decided to switch it up. Said, fuck that. Take him down. And from there, he slowed down Diakazi. And he busted up his nose in round, I think, the later of rounds one. And then from there, you can tell the demeanor change from Diakazi, where he just looked a lot more tentative. Mm-hmm. And it's different. You ever get hit in the nose and your eyes just start watering? It's like someone chops you in the bridge of your nose or punches you in the bridge of your nose.
Yeah.
You know, you're tough, and then next you know, you got these tears coming from your eye ducts, and you're like, well, maybe I ain't as tough as I thought. You know, it's one of those. So I would imagine him getting clipped like that probably really had him second-guessing the game plan. Like, all right, maybe I need to reevaluate this.
And look, Faziev, I don't know how to pronounce that one either. He was swinging. Like, he was throwing at him the whole time. So that was really good. I mean, look. Good debut for him. Really fun to watch. I think he got fight of the night bonus. They both did. Yeah. I think he's got a good, good start to his career and potentially a really fun career ahead of him.
His name should be 100% his nickname because that's all he does. Everything he threw was just bombs, heater after heater.
Yeah.
And those body kicks, he's a Thai coach over at Tiger Muay Thai. Mm-hmm. And he showed why.
He had that one like matrix move like a second in there. That was really good too.
Good. We're doing good so far. Yeah, the Matrix stuff he did, I know the UFC really liked that. They put that They called him the one. Literally just leaned all the way back, straight Thai style.
Yeah. That's like straight Thai. He leaned all the way back. That was nice. I like that.
And Diakazi was right there. He stepped in. If you go back and look at how close his lead foot was towards his lead foot when he stepped in and threw the kick and whiffed. I'm like, dude,
that's crazy.
That's playing with fire.
Just a little bit.
Even the wheel kick Diakazi was throwing.
Yeah, no, that's a guy that's just confident in like his range, his distance. I mean, he's had to have sparred 1,000 rounds to be able to know, all right, this is exactly where it's going to be and have the confidence to be like, all right, I'm just going to pull back just enough. I thought it was good. I'm really excited for what he's going to, bring to the division.
Just get out of the way. Lipsky, there were so many good fights. I'm trying to don't want to talk about everything too in-depth, but there's so many good ones.
Queen of Violence. That
Queen
was
of Violence, Lipsky. Oh, man.
I didn't see the full fight, but I saw the finish.
Kneebar.
Yeah. From a calf crusher, defense. I don't even want to call it defense, but, she was getting calf sliced. And then to just decide, bro, first of all, if I'm in that position, my calf, my knee is looking like it's already going to pop out. But she was just like,
She chilled in there.
And just tore it. I've never seen that. I don't think we'll ever see it again, quite frankly.
Yeah.
But that is absolutely crazy.
See, now typically with the calf slicer, when someone gets it, you want to figure for your outside leg so that that leg can't get attacked. Uh-huh. And normally you're on your side. So when you're on the side, you could do it sitting up like she was.
Yeah.
But she would have had to have gotten her back.
Yeah.
She was holding her hip.
Yeah.
She needed to pull her back like almost like a seatbelt grip and pull her back so she could arch into her and take away any opportunity for Lipsky to move. Mm-hmm. But she had the waist. She had a tight
figure four
lock. But the other leg was free.
Free. Yeah.
And just there for the taking. And surprisingly, I've never seen anyone try to attack it that way.
I would think I'd be freaking out more about my calf, trying to defend that. But she just saw the leg and was like, nah, we're taking this home with us. And
the pressure in her knee, too. I was like, dude, you can see the pressure.
Yeah.
Because it was a complete
one
fold.
One of those, yeah.
And she was just like, all right, I'm going to chill right here. I'm going to take this leg. And you want to see some crazy shit? Keep holding on to that leg. Stay right there.
She kept kind of pulling back on it too. I'm like, doesn't that hurt your leg at all, lady? Yeah. Like, no, nothing though.
She hipped up. She raised her hips up to get more of that. Now, somebody asked me this question on Twitter. They said, don't you want to, like, turn the knee? I don't know what they were really trying to say, but I was like, nah, you want the fulcrum point like you would an armbar, just underneath the joint, closer towards the shoulder. So closer towards the leg, it would be closer towards the hip. So if you're over that knee or right on the knee, they have some wiggle room in there and you can't lock out the joint, the hinge joint. This is a hinge joint. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the leg, the knee, a hinge joint. And once you get just underneath it, closer towards the bigger extremity of the body, the trunk, I should say, you can get more of that fulcrum point to put the pressure on the cap or on the elbow joint, the elbow cap as well. Is that is it elbow cap or just elbow?
Look, man.
Kneecap. Elbow cap?
I know it's an arm bar. I know it's a knee bar. So I'm going to assume the concepts are simple.
Is this your elbow cap? Do we say
arm
that?
Arm cap. I think it's your arm cap.
Your elbow. Yeah. So that's pretty much it. But yeah, super, super slick, man.
Oh, good win. Queen of violence, man. That's a good nickname.
Yeah. And second female fighter to get a knee bar finish in the UFC. The other one was Mackenzie Dern.
Oh, okay.
That was a month ago.
Yeah, that wasn't too far off. Oh, that's awesome. All
crazy.
Right.
Askarov, good fight with Pantoja, back and forth.
I missed that one.
Got taken down a bunch, but a lot of good scrambles. Pantoja looked like he was about to submit him early, but good Dagestani wrestling from Askarov. Mm-hmm. I believe he does train with Khabib's team over there. Uh-huh. I think the commentators were saying.
I missed that fight, man. I don't know.
Well, either way, man, good pressure. Mm-hmm. Got out of all the danger that he could get into, fought off a lot of arm bars and triangle attempts early from Pantoja, but eventually Askarov was able to get the nod. Grant Dawson, good fight versus, I can't pronounce the name, Nad. Unanimous decision, using those calf kicks into the stepping knee, James Krause style. Pretty much all his guys do the same exact setup. Calf kick, Eventually they fake you out and they come up the middle with a stepping knee.
Oh, slick.
And, couple of times he was throwing it, Nad tried to shoot in, and he got clipped with that knee.
Yeah.
It was a good fight, man. Really good fight. I thought Grant was going to be able to get the submission, but he was unable to. They went to a decision.
Yeah, still a good win to take.
Yeah. That other guy, Roman something from Georgia, he had a good fight. I can't pronounce his last name.
I don't know if you want to try it, man.
Dolids. Roman. His name's Roman. Roman. We're going to go with Roman.
No, Roman. Awesome win for him. Again.
TKO, then step in knee.
Yeah.
All for that.
Man, these Georgians do not play around, man. Come on.
I think Marav started the trend.
Yeah, really.
And he's got everyone inspired over there. So it was good to see these guys coming out in full force. Jojoa last week on the Wednesday card. And now Roman. And, of course, you got Marav who set it all off.
Of course.
I think Joe Duffy versus Alvarez.
God damn.
He kind of put himself in that guillotine.
No, he really did. He shot that double leg, head outside on both knees. The instant he was there, I was like, it felt like my spider senses were tingling. I'm like, this man is really about to get choked out like this. Like, this is, and then again, credit to,
Alvarez,
yeah, for even getting that position. Like the instant he jumped on, I was like, oh, this guy's confident in that guillotine. So,
yeah.
It sucks. Just as a fan, I want to see Joe Duffy on the feet, mixing it up, because I think he has some of the best he has shown some of the best boxing, I thought, in MMA with his hands. So I was hoping to at least get to see more of that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, look, he only fights once every year, so as it is. So I think he retired after this.
He did. He said, I don't got it anymore. Comes a time when you have to realize that. But that's I don't think it's not that he doesn't have it. I just think the fight IQ was just like, yo, dude, come on. Yeah. What are we talking about?
Well, I think the other guy was pretty long and lanky, too, so I'm sure it was a little annoying for him.
But there was no threat for him that early in the fight to go, let's wrestle.
Yeah, and it's not like that's really his game, typically. It looks like he's a very well-rounded fighter.
I mean, submitted Conor McGregor.
Of course.
Who was a better striker at the time.
Conor. At the time, yeah.
Yeah, so Joe Duffy, I like to think his striking...
Oh, this is his main game. He has, professional boxing bouts. Yeah, and, again, it definitely didn't seem like the best idea. It just sucks, man. I did want to see more of Duffy, especially coming into his UFC career. I thought he was going to be a legit top five contender at the very least. I thought he had an easy storyline with Conor if they were ever going to go down that route.
Yeah.
I remember they had that big press conference at one point, and Joe Duffy, he was fighting Dustin Poirier at the time.
Yeah, another war that Dustin Poirier was in.
Yeah, but I remember Joe Duffy, he didn't say a word at that press conference. I remember thinking, all this guy has to say is, Conor, like, sit down. I choked you out in like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
But you could see, like, even just by him not saying a word during that whole press conference, like, the kind of guy he was. I'm like, this guy's like a very humble, like, respectful guy, clearly.
Sucks, man. It does just felt suck. Like, I think that's probably what he means when he says he doesn't have any more, like, wanting to, like, fight and grit out everything. Because I feel like he could have gotten out of that triangle, but he was just kind of just trying with the guilty trope. Yeah. But I feel like he was hanging out a little bit.
He definitely looked lax. Like,
yeah, then when he realized it was on, it was just like,
Time to go home.
This sucks. Yeah. It's time to go home. Where's my show?
Well, like,
money?
You know, you see some guys, they roll to their back. Like, they'll do whatever they got to do. Yeah. But
mentally, it just seemed like he was just probably not there to fight.
No, I'm sure.
And I think that's just, it's just a mental thing. And I think that's what he probably means when he's saying, I don't have it anymore. Yeah. I think physically he could still
absolutely
compete.
I mean, look, his hands look fine. He's got plenty of MMA fights as it is. I know he's got professional boxing bouts, and it just seems like, you know, I get it. Doesn't want to do it. There's nothing wrong. I wouldn't force any man to fight another for money. Like, if they don't want to do it. So.
Hey, man, go train and get your ass in this cage.
Yeah, exactly. So if the guy says he doesn't want to do it, more power to him, man. I hope he has a great career, whatever he decides to do.
I always say I think it's tough because people always expect that you get in there and you can just gonna be able to fight forever. But I think people get to the UFC and then that's like a big accomplishment on its own.
Of course.
You're one of the best guys in the world.
Allegedly.
And then you have a couple of fights. You're on the quest for UFC gold. Almost 90% of people never even have that opportunity to ever fight for UFC gold.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just rinse and repeat with new talent. Rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. Guys come in. They make a little bit of money. Yeah. They can say they were a UFC fighter. They can say they were amongst the best of the world. And then eventually, they lose a couple or they don't have the spirit to fight anymore or compete. To want to go through a training camp mentally, physically, and then to get in the fight, all the emotional duress that comes with it, to make that walk into the octagon and then be confident and be willing to go through the fire to win and endure pain to get your hand raised. That is a lot that people do not understand. It's not like picking up a basketball.
No, you're right.
It's not like picking up a football. Well, football, you are slamming your body into another man. You do have to make sure
For millions of dollars,
which is way more fair.
So I was going to say, a lot easier for them to decide.
For them to get up and do that in the morning.
Versus, a guy like Joe Duffy, who at one point he was the main event for, like, cards, and then to move on to the prelims.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure
it's tough.
It's got to be mentally just draining, though. Like,
it's like, how do we get back here, and how do you get over the hump of saying to yourself, "Well, maybe this is it for me. Maybe I don't really want to do this as much as I thought I did, and maybe we got to figure out what's next."
Well, I think that's a good contrast that we talked about earlier: Joe Duffy versus a guy like Benavidez. Benavidez, he's kept managing to make it back to that title.
Michael Bisping.
Like, and I think you got to respect those guys more than ever when you see something like this. Because, like,
even Diego Sanchez.
Yeah, look, again, that one I think is a little more craziness as much as it is grittiness, to be fair.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but...
But he's still there. But still, he's the last of the Mohicans.
No, really,
How is he still around?
Well, how is... That is a tough question.
Alkaline water.
Yeah, right, alkaline water. No, I'm sure. You just got to respect a guy like Joseph B. or like Michael Bisping. But you also have to understand, and I still think respect a guy like Joe Duffy, who's like, I don't want to do that. Like, that sounds fucking terrible. So I'm not going to just stay in there for the chance that I might be fighting for the belt or go back to the main card. You know, something like that one day. So, no, it is what it is. I hope Joe Duffy decides whatever he does. I hope he does well.
It's a tough game we play, man. That's why when some of the fans, I understand you pay your money and you're entitled to go on Twitter and talk shit, but when people, like, brutally, like, the stuff that they were doing, screenshotting Benavidez and sending it to his wife, like, how do you even feel good about yourself? Like,
well, you don't. I mean, if we're being honest, those people, they're irrelevant. You know,
I don't know, of course.
Yeah.
We all know this. But the fact that people are still, like, going out of their way to do this, like, you are trying to make a female feel even worse about her husband that just lost on an international stage, and not even just lost, it was one-sided, and it's probably his last ever shot, and there's more that goes into it. It's not just, you could bounce back.
Well, exactly.
Like, this is it. Like, that could potentially be his last fight.
Well, that's the thing. You have the wherewithal to be able to understand that situation, like, and be like, look, the amount of work, all this.
I still get those memes. People still send me pictures of me being... running into a knee. I'm like, dude, that was fucking 3 years ago.
Well, I was just
and the guy just got his ass kicked.
Yeah.
after winning the round with a guy who sprained his ankle during fight week.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And you guys are comparing that flukish loss to that. To this. Like, get the fuck out of here. Well, like, I think I've redeemed myself
for those people,
five times over. No, literally.
Look, no, I agree. But not even just that aspect, but just, like, the fact that, like, that you've actually, like, put work into something. For someone, like, it's a lot easier when you have no idea. You really cannot comprehend, like, the level of effort it takes and, like, what kind of balls it takes to do that. But these guys on Twitter have literally, I'm sure, never done anything competitive in their life in that aspect. So they can say this and actually... Well, they can do it without any, like, actual thought about, like, oh, what does it really mean to, you know, say this? Like, you know, oh, I can say this shitty thing, but, like, you don't really understand, like, okay, this guy put his whole life into this. This guy's fighting for a world title. Like, what have you accomplished?
I would love to see one of these guys, these trolls, who apply for a job, didn't get it, or ask for a raise, didn't get it, and then let me screenshot your face on the look of your face when your boss tells you no, or the look of your interviewer telling you sorry. We already filled the position with someone that we felt was a little bit more compatible or qualified. And let me see the look and your sunken look on your face. And that's not even close to what we feel in terms of putting it all on the line.
That's exactly it, though. But, like, those are the... Again, that's why I say it's kind of irrelevant, because those are the kind of people, like...
Shitty people.
Yeah, like, why? People. Like, what, you know... They're not going to accomplish anything with that kind of attitude, so fuck them. That's how I feel, you know? Like, they're never really going to be able
fuck
to...
Them.
Yeah, that's it, really. Let's turn it to Matt Serra.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But, damn, how do we get on this from Joe Duffy?
I don't know, man. There was a lot of good, like, there was a lot of fights, though. Can we just...
Salute Joe Duff.
Joe Duffy.
Next fight, we have Brett Johns versus Montel Jackson. Good fight. Brett Johns did what he had to do. He got hurt early on in that first round, got dropped with that cross, and then eventually got back up, was able to scramble back to his feet. I think he lost that round. Came back and won the second and third for me. Unanimous decision, I believe. No split. Yep. So the second and third, there were no questions about it. Got taken down multiple times. Didn't run. Ate a big knee, I think, in that third round, but still eventually controlled got him back to the clinch. Yeah. I think he took him down. The main thing people were saying, like, how did he win the fight? I'm like, well, he won on an extreme amount of control time. Yeah. Takedowns and controlling him. And then in space, not being hit.
Yeah.
So that's how you want to fight.
No, ultimately, you know, you're right.
If you're going to grapple... And you don't throw any punches, and the other guy is hurting you.
Yeah,
the other guy should win the fight.
Well, I think it just comes down to, like, he did the thing that the other guy didn't want him to do. So, like, how does he not win that fight? You know, like, if it would be different if Jackson was going, he was like, all right, whatever. Well, you know, I'll let the takedown happen, and he was the one fighting off his back and doing really well. Like, he's throwing up subs, but that's not really what happened in his case.
Rotate just a little bit to your right. Rotate it. Yep, there it is.
Why?
Audio. But either way, good fight. Good. Mm-hmm. The Pikey's back on a 2-fight win streak. Still in the win column, and will probably get a much bigger fight from here. I could potentially see them matching him up with Marab after this fight.
You know what? Maybe. Is Brett Johns ranked in the top 15 at all?
He was.
He was at some point. I don't know if he still is, so I would think...
No, he's not. He's not. Yeah, Marab took the 15th spot.
Okay.
And he's fighting Dotson, who is ranked 12.
Yeah. So I would think... as Marab's friend and, like... You know, as his teammate, obviously, we want to...
Yeah, I'm not going to go backwards.
No, exactly. But it would be understandable for them to want to be like, hey, you know, Brett Johns, you want to fight the guy just on the fringe of the top 15 or, like, right at the top 15.
Yeah, but, you know, he beats Dotson. When he beats Dotson, then things are going to be a lot different from there.
No, so, I think that's fair.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting with him and the other Wells guy, because they're both in the same weight class. They're both high-level grapplers to see what's going to happen with those guys. But like I said, I always like seeing the guys that I do fight do well. If I lose to you, I want to see you win. If I beat you, I want to see you win as well, because it makes me look better, I think, in my opinion.
No, I think that's fair.
The next one we have... Oh, Shariukin. Oh, well, this other guy, Amir...
Oh, shit, I forgot about that.
He made his debut over Malcolm Gordon, submission, triangle, choke in round one.
Had his back, good jumped right onto the triangle. That was gorgeous.
Beautiful transition. As he was falling off, rotated into it from the mount position as he was getting reversed.
I didn't really know much about either guy, to be honest, but I love seeing a good sub off your back like that, so that was awesome.
I think it was both their debuts.
Oh, wow, okay, makes sense. No, good.
Bantamweights.
Good sub, good win.
Yeah, first round. And the other guy, Armin Shariukin. Good fight against Davi Hamos. Davi Hamos just could not get inside. So much slower.
And you can see Davi was getting frustrated.
Just waving him in.
Like, come on. And Shariukin's like, what do you mean, come on? I'm hitting you. Like, this is a
I'm
fight.
I'm hitting you and you can't touch me.
Yeah, like,
this is how...
Why would I change up my style? Yeah. That's crazy.
But, But Shoryuken kept waving him in. Like, every time Davi did land anything, like, Davi would blitz in.
Yeah.
And he would land one big shot.
Yeah.
And then Shoryuken would kind of, like, shrug it off and then, like, wave him in, like, tell him, like, bring it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I don't understand. You can't tell him to bring it after he's clapping you like that.
Yeah,
and then get on your bike.
It felt like, well, look, it felt like showmanship from both sides. Where it's
yeah,
like,
but you can't get on your bike after telling him to bring it. Like, it's like an oxymoron. It's
That's my go-to.
It's ironic. You can't run away.
I don't know, man.
But you can't circle away.
I think that's the best. In my opinion, that's almost even better.
Clap me. I get stumbled or I get rocked or whatever. Or I stumble backwards, hit the cage. I bounce off. I wave you in. As you come forward, I circle. And I circle and I circle and I circle.
To me, that's almost even better than staying in there because I think that's hilarious.
It is hilarious. I'm like, wait. That's not how this. Doesn't work like that. You have to stand there and bang now.
Because
you initiated. This is the let's bang. This is the universal signal of let's stand here and fight. It's the Max Holloway.
The Max Holloway.
And it's the come on. It's the come on. And you just can't circle away after that.
I don't know, man. I think that's even funnier. I'm saying if I'm in that position, I would do that every time. Like point to the ground. Like, all right, let's go. And the instant they start stepping forward, start circling around them.
Or shoot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that'd be hilarious. Aljo, please. This next fight. No,
it's hysterical.
The fight starts. Do the right here, and then single leg. Beautiful.
Act like you make a fist and you boil up like you're about to load this big haymaker and then you just attack the legs.
I like that. I think that's hilarious, quite frankly.
The seat on that is like, fuck, you really got me with that? That's like, look over there.
Hey, that worked out for
Cody Garbrandt.
Yeah, no, so clearly.
Apparently it does work.
Give him one of those. Yeah, exactly.
But
I thought that was a good win. Again, these guys weren't even a top 15 of lightweight, so that tells you how freaking
stacked that division is. This kid is young. He's only 23.
He was the one that he had his debut against Islam Makhachev.
Yes.
Had a crazy competitive like grappling exchanges.
Took him down.
No, it was a great fight. Like,
he's going to be a problem for everyone in that weight class.
Striking, grappling, even the few ground exchanges they have. I mean, look, Davi Hamos is a black belt. I think an Abu Dhabi champion. And even when they went to the ground, Shoryuken, he wasn't. Look,
he didn't hang out.
No, he wasn't hanging out. He wasn't exactly like he wasn't
he
hanging
got
out.
The fuck out of there when he needed to get the hell out of there.
Exactly when he needed to get out, he's like, "No, we're good now." But he controlled him for like the little instances that he needed to. I just thought really good, just good fight IQ in general.
Back on the bike and just said, "I'm gonna hit you from the outside. You can't hit me.
Yeah, come forward. Keep trying to do what you got to do."
His Muay Thai striking looks so beautiful. Like in terms of like
technique,
he wasn't known as a striker.
No,
for some way somehow he came back and it was just like he would throw the cross off. He would even like rotate all the way through. He would just extend just to do that walk-in switch kick.
Yep,
but it's not even like a traditional switch kick where you shuffle the feet. He would step and cross, plant his right leg and
bring it right up,
flick that left kick up. Boom, long, kept him at the end range of his punches, end range of his kicks, and Davi couldn't do shit.
Honestly, this was the fight I was most excited about on this card.
Yeah.
And look, I thought that was the fight of the night personally, but again, great fight, really good.
Pretty one-sided to really give it a fight of the night.
That's fair too. I was just excited about just the technique.
It was a striking clinic.
Yeah, though. No, it was really good. Really good fight for Shoryuken. Davi Hamos, I still think he's going to be a problem for anyone, like basically, so.
The smaller cage would have fared him very well.
I thought so too. No, 100% I agree with that. No, I 100% agree with that.
Yeah, so that was tough, man. But I felt Davi could have made some adjustments if he was just to cut him off. Like when he was blitzing him, he did well because he would land at least one.
Yeah, that's true.
But when he just try to get the perfect shot, I'm like, dude, you're better off just starting to the body.
Make it a brawl.
John Lineker, that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Come up top or start to the body and eventually barrel your way in for a takedown or pull guard into that.
I mean, there was no shot he was going to win a technical exchange.
Not at all.
Every time he did make a little brawling, like kind of forward, throwing some hooks at him.
He landed good.
He was able to land a little bit. And he looked like he obviously has some power to him, so.
Look at his arms. Look at his head. That's not a normal man.
No.
The guy's dense. He's like the 155-pound Yoel Romero.
Dude, the way he looks is absolutely terrifying. Like, when you have that no neck, I'm assuming.
He looks like David from the gym.
Man, some good acai over in Brazil, man. Seriously, that is. I got to start doing that.
It's something.
Yeah, right.
Well, other than that, man, we had some good training in this week and doing some renovation at my mom's house. I think Tuesday should be the last day they took They did some work Sunday. They had to fire a guy because it was honestly really crazy. It's a really funny story, but they fired the guy, long story short, and they finished up some stuff yesterday. We had some broken tiles, so we had to go. I got to go back, go get some extra stuff, and we're going to finish it up tomorrow. Will be the final touches. And brand new bathroom, so much, so night and day. Like, I looked at the bathroom downstairs. It's actually the same tile that I picked out for my bathroom in the basement.
Oh, wow.
To the same towel that I used for my mom's house without even knowing.
Yeah, I was
just looking. I was like,
I just like the design.
This just looks so good. I was like, let's get this. And it's reasonably priced. I got it. And then I took a picture and I went back to the house. I'm like, that's exactly why I liked it, because it's the same exact tile. I didn't get the polished porcelain. I got the matte porcelain. So if you put polished porcelain on the floor, it's slippery. And you can, as soon as you come out of the shower and you step on it with your wet feet, you can
slide
and...
How confused are the listeners right now, by the way? Like, we transitioned from the fights to this...
I'm talking about our week, man, you know? That's what I'm saying. It's like, this is some fun facts for these guys. So when you're going, you're house shopping and you're doing some remodeling, making sure that's a safety hazard. It's like putting marble on the floor in your bathroom.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's a high hazard situation. It's like, don't walk around with wet feet or you're going to be...
In the bathroom.
Yeah, face up, looking at the ceiling.
All right. No, that's fair.
But yeah, so that's pretty much
good
done.
Good training this week.
Wrapping it up and... Yeah, we did some drill. Marab is looking like a freaking monster.
Oh my goodness. Oh my God.
With that 145 or Vilsen.
Yeah.
Animal, he's already peaked.
He's always at his peak. It's a thing. Exactly. You said you almost have to pull him back more than anything.
Get some muscle recovery more than anything. Yeah. I think it would benefit him more to do that, to just make sure he just feels good.
Yeah.
Then, like, the pace that he goes at, Marab, is just unreal.
You're never going to have to worry about his cardio. Ever. Right? That's ever. Like, he's willing to fight on like a couple days notice because you never have to worry about that. That is a huge plus to having him around, quite frankly, for everyone too, because it's like, all right, you need sparring. You know, Marab's at least there for whenever.
Sparring, okay. How many rounds? 10? No problem.
It's actually intimidating.
No problem. Yeah, but besides that, we're pretty much all good. We finished up the kitchen over here.
Everything's looking good over here. The gym, the people fighting out of the gym. It looks like we got a couple guys, obviously.
Big month this week.
Big month coming up.
Weidman,
Marab, Mizuki.
And maybe Favola,
Yeah, so.
And
big things coming up. Oh, of course. We don't know when that's official, but he should be fighting in September too. So this should be big things coming for the gym, man.
Big motherfucking things. And just like that, thank you guys for always tuning in. If you like this shit, subscribe to this shit or spin it back, fish, baby. Yeah, hit that like button, man, because it's YouTube algorithm nonsense. I don't know how it works.
Home, but just you gotta get to stepping.
Hit it.
Was it like, subscribe, hit the notification?
And remember, like, subscribe.
We bring the noise because the people want the funk. Until next time, this is the Weekly Scraps. Bye-bye.